Our scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 21, and then 24 and 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne him a son, and he named him Jesus.
Will you pray with me? Lord, help us to hear what you would have us hear in this hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I appreciate them, and I don't have to play ping pong. Now, this is a day when we remember our own fathers, who may or may not still be with us. I have very vivid memories of my own father, who had a great influence on my life. First and foremost, my father was committed to Jesus Christ and the church, and that definitely impacted me. But there are some other memories that I have of him. One is that my father had a good singing voice. He loved to sing, and he was singing all the time, in the car, around the house, whenever. He also played the piano by ear. And so one of my memories is of him sitting at the piano, banging out and belting out "Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho." I can hear him now singing and playing that. The other thing is that a vivid memory that I have of my dad is that he had a great sense of humor, and he had the ability to laugh at himself. And even when he was in Alzheimer's and that was taking away the person that I knew, he still had that sense of humor, and he still was able to laugh at himself. You know, no matter what kind of a relationship we had with our fathers, we've learned something from them. Here are the top 10 things we learn from our fathers. Let's see if you resound with any of this. Number 10, when your father was your age, kids had to walk 6 miles to school in the snow and rain, uphill both ways. Number 9, if he had acted like you, his father would have taken him out behind the woodshed. Number 8, when he was your age, kids had to make their own fun. Number 7, you learned from your father that you weren't born in the barn. Number 6, when he was your age, he had to work for what he got. Number 5, we learned from our fathers that you don't want to make dad stop the car. Number 4, because I said so is a reason that makes perfect sense to parents. Number 3, you'd better stop crying or he'd give you a reason to cry. Number 2, you'd lose your head if it wasn't attached, according to Dad. And the number 1 thing that we have learned from our fathers is that money doesn't grow on trees. On this Father's Day, I want us to look not at our own fathers. We can move from that. We have already recognized fathers and remembered the fathers in our lives, whoever they may be. But I want us to look at a father in the Bible who is often overlooked and overshadowed by his wife, and that is Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. I think it's significant that even as as God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus, he also chose Joseph to be his earthly father and to raise him. And so Mary and Joseph both were chosen to be Jesus' parents. Many years ago, maybe in the 70s, there was a made-for-TV biographical film called Who Will Love My Children? And it was based on the true life story of an Iowa farm family. They were a poor, hardworking family with a large number of children. The mother, Lucille, discovers that she has cancer, incurable cancer, and that she only has about a year to live. Her husband is a good man, but he would just be incapable of taking care of that brood of children after she's gone. And so the story shows Lucille, who goes on the search for loving parents who will take care of each one of her children after she's gone. And her hope is that she can place them before she dies. And she does succeed. You know, in the same way, God went looking for parents to raise his son. He searched, as we know, and found a young teenage girl who was engaged to be married, and whom the Bible says of her, she found favor with God. But he also went looking for a father. And so in this, we see God demonstrating that the role of a father is an important one. The role of father is not only needed for the physical act of conceiving a child, but also for the spiritual act of raising a child. We know that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, so a man wasn't needed for that, but he was still needed to fill the role of father in Jesus' life as he grew. Now, having said that, I applaud the single parents for their faithfulness to their children, and they can attest to the multiplied difficulties there are when one parent is not present for whatever the reason is. And I applaud them, and we need to be praying for them and supporting them. But Joseph was chosen by God, and just as God looks for a godly young woman to be the mother, he looks for a godly man to be Jesus' father. And I think that's an inspiring model of fatherhood that we see in Joseph. And I don't you think God made a good choice? Well, Joseph is not talked about too much in the Bible. We don't know a whole lot about him, but let's look at what we do know about Joseph. The scripture shows us that he was a very caring and a loving man, first to Mary. Now, if you remember the story, Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant before God even talks to him in a dream. Now, what's he to think when he finds this out? What would you men think? You know, you've fallen in love with this pretty young girl, and you've done all the right things, and then out of the blue, you find out that this girl that you thought you knew is pregnant. You don't know who the father is, but there's one person you can rule out. So how does that make you feel? Angry? Betrayed? Hurt? Confused? Now, the penalty for adultery in the Old Testament was death by stoning. And this was applied to infidelity during that betrothal time, which we call engagement time, but betrothal was much more than that, and it was just as binding as the marriage. So infidelity in that time, too. In the Old Testament, women would have been stoned. But by the New Testament, things had changed a little bit, but it was still a grave offense. And so upon discovering that Mary is pregnant, Joseph had every right to divorce her according to the law. But this would have brought a lot of shame and humiliation on Mary. And so even before God speaks to Joseph, he has no bitterness. The Bible says that he had in mind to divorce her quietly. There was a way that they could get a divorce without going before the judge and not having a lot of public information going out. And so Joseph decides that he's going to try the best way to do that, so that not to bring shame on Mary, because he loved her. And one of the best things that fathers can do is model love for their wives, to their children. And if you remember, Paul tells husbands in Ephesians 2 that you are to love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's a pretty tall order. But Joseph was also loving toward Jesus. He never had that attitude of, well, this is not, he's not my flesh and bones. There was no resentment or indifference to him. He protected him. If you remember, Herod wanted to kill the baby Jesus, and Joseph protected him from that hatred of Herod. He nurtured and cared for Jesus. He even taught him the family business of carpentry. He adopted Jesus as his own. He adopted the one that the world rejected. Joseph was also a man who obeyed God, and he followed the Lord's leading and direction in his life. When God did come to Joseph in a dream after Mary is pregnant, he says, "Go ahead, it's okay, I want you to marry her." And Joseph obeys. And then when he comes and says, "Take Mary and the baby and get out of Dodge because Herod is after him," he does it. He picks up his family and moves to Egypt. And then when God later says, "Okay, come on back now, it's safe," he again obeys God. He was a man of obedience. But he was also a man of faith. You know, it takes a lot of faith to pack up your bags and your house and your family and move them to a country that you don't even know about. You know, there's no pre-planning. Joseph could have made up excuses about why he couldn't go, but he chose to trust God. Fathers and grandfathers, your faith will speak loudly to your children and your grandchildren. So raise them in an environment where they can see your faithfulness. There once was a farmer who had toiled over a bumper crop of grain. It was a crop that was desperately needed to pay off the creditors and to keep his family going for another year. And a couple of days before they were to harvest the crop, a freak wind and hailstorm came and it just destroyed everything and ravaged the crop. And after it was over, the man stood next to his young son looking out over the harvest that was lost. And the young boy fully expected to hear his father cursing in despair. But instead, all of a sudden, he heard his father softly singing, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." And years later, as that boy had grown into manhood, he said, "That was the greatest sermon I ever heard." Because that father had shown him his faith when it mattered. Joseph was also a man who was faithful in his spiritual duties. Luke tells us that Joseph set an example for his family by going regularly to the temple and celebrating all of the Jewish festivals. Not like the little boy who was playing one morning on the floor on Sunday morning. His father was sitting in his easy chair reading the newspaper. And pretty soon the father said, "Okay, now son, get up and go get ready to go to Sunday school." And the son said, "Daddy, are you going to go with me today?" The father said, "No, but you need to go get dressed and get ready." And he said, "Did you go to Sunday school when you were a little boy like me, Daddy?" And he said, "Oh, I certainly did. Now you go get dressed." And as the son walked out of the room, he murmured, "Yeah, and it probably won't do me any good either." Our children are watching our faithfulness and our commitment. Joseph also lived a life of one who redeemed the time that he had. We don't hear anything about Joseph after Jesus' childhood. And if you remember at the cross, Mary charges John with the care of his mother, Mary. But Joseph used the time that he had been given wisely. He provided for his family. He set an example for them. He raised them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the scripture tells us. Now we know that Jesus was not the only child in Mary and Joseph's family, that Joseph had other sons and daughters. At least two of his sons, James and Jude, were used by God. Two of the books that we have in the New Testament were written by those two, and James became one of the leaders in the church in Jerusalem. Joseph had raised his children in the Lord, and he left behind a legacy. None of us knows how much time we have left with our children and families. 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Are you redeeming the time as Joseph did? Are you loving your families and providing an example for them and providing for their needs, not just financially, but physically and spiritually and emotionally? In 1989, there was a devastating earthquake in Armenia that killed 30,000 people in 4 minutes. A father rushed to the site of his son's school only to see it totally collapse like a pancake. And as he stood there in anguish, he remembered the promise that he always had said to his son. He said, "No matter what, I'll always be there for you." And then he remembered that his son's classroom was at the back right-hand corner of the building. So he ran around there only to see it just a pile of rubble. But he got in there and rock by rock, brick by brick, he began to take them off. Other parents came up and in their anguish were crying out, "My son, my daughter." And then they said to the father, "Stop it. You know, it's hopeless. They're gone. They're dead. Go home. Forget about it." Even a police officer and a firefighter came and said, "Go home. You can't do anything." But the father continued to go through the rubble. 8 hours, then 12 hours, 24 hours, then 36 hours. And in the 38th hour, as he lifted one of the boulders off, he heard his son's voice. And he cried out, "Armand, Armand!" And the son cried out, "Dad, it's me, Dad." And then he said, "I knew you would come. And I told the other kids that if you were alive, that you would come and save me. And when you saved me, you would save them too. You always told me you would be there no matter what. And you've come and you've kept your promise." No matter whether our fathers are still with us or not, or whatever kind of relationship we have, we know that they can't always be there for us as much as they would like to think that they can. But we know that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us, who saved us, and who promises never to leave us. And He always keeps His promises. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for our fathers who have had influence on our lives, or those men in our lives that have been important to us. But we know that they are not perfect and they cannot always be there. But we trust in your promise that you will never leave us and never forsake us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. Thanking you for coming back to life so that we might have life eternal through you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing hymn number 313, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus Christ and Righteousness." We will stand. Randy will come lead us in verses 1 and 4. Thank you. We hear these words from 1 John. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Depart now in the fellowship of God the Father, and as you go, remember the goodness of God and your pride in this world. As great as God, he has all the day long. He is